If you would, open your Bible to Philippians 3, verse 7. Amy, would you come back up with the mic? And I'm going to have Amy Storr read this passage from verse 7 down to 15, through 15.
Thank you, Lord. Are we ready to receive the word of the Lord now? And we're going to be changed and transformed, and the Holy Spirit's going to teach us. And we thank you, Lord, for your wonderful word that we honor now. And we thank you for it. Philippians 3, starting in verse 7, the very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I can embrace Christ and be embraced by Him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. I gave up all of the inferior so that I could know Christ personally, experience His resurrection power, be a partner in His suffering, and go all the way with Him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it.
And then 12 through 15.
And verse 12. I'm not saying that I have all of this together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I have my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I am off and running, and I am not turning back.
Verse 15.
So let's keep focused on the goal, those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision, and you'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. And that's the Message translation.
Thank you, Ames. All right, now we're going to use the English Standard Version will be on the screen. And I'm going to be ministering out of the New King James. And the name of the message is One Thing. Everybody say One Thing. You know, Jesus said a man could gain the whole world, but if he doesn't have that one thing, he'll lose his soul. Jesus also told us that the kingdom of God is like a man who finds a pearl of great price in a field, hidden in a field. And when he gains the knowledge, he found that there was a pearl of great price hidden in a field. He sold everything he had to go purchase that one thing, that field. We say one thing. You know, Christ is that one thing. And there's so much of Jesus that we have yet to understand. And a lot of us, when we give our life to Christ, you realize you're born again, you're saved. Word we use a lot as Christians, I'm saved. Salvation comes into your life. You've been given eternal life, the gift of eternal life. Your name is written in heaven in the book of life. And a lot of believers kind of stop somewhere right after that. They're the pursuit of Christ slows dramatically because of the encroaching pressures of the world. Our sin nature that we're learning to crucify daily and the worldliness around us, the pressures, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life encroach greatly. And we have many enemies, Satan himself and the kingdom of darkness. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. Did you hear that? You're not wrestling against a person. You're wrestling against the devil. Yes, the devil then uses people, but you got to understand the root of your problem is the devil and your sin nature. Okay? And the Apostle Paul recognized this. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, if you read earlier in Philippians chapter 3. He was the brightest students under Gamaliel, one of the great rabbis of that time, and Pharisees. But Paul said that though he had all these credentials, they counted as nothing compared to earning and or winning Christ. And I want to go back in verse 7 using, I'll be ministering out of the New King James. English Standard is very similar, and I'd like that up on the screen. But what things were gained to me? He's talking about his life in Christ, where he stood now. What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. When he became a Christian and he left being a Pharisee of the Pharisees and on the road to Damascus, as Christ appeared to him by that great grace to appear to a man who, it says, ruined the church, hurt the church badly by his activities, an enemy of the cross. And down the road to Damascus, this man received such great grace as he saw that bright light that blinded him, and he was knocked off his horse. And there on that road to Damascus, he was converted to Christ. The enemy of Christ was now saved by Christ. And were we not enemies of Christ? We were at one time enemies of God, enemies of Christ. And by his great grace, he has saved each one of us. And if you don't think you were an enemy of Christ before you became to him, you don't know you don't know yourself. There's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says that the carnal mind, which all of us had at one time, is an enemy of God's. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And even as a Christian, if you allow your mind to become carnal and darkened, you will come back into friendship with the world, which is an enemy to God. See, can we just right now just renew that commitment to have a renewed mind and to know God, know Christ afresh and to know him even more? And so he tells us, he counts all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. The excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. I will say it again, the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. And when I think about all the different things now that I've learned in my over 40, almost 45 years of really being a committed Christian, 44 years this year, of being a committed Christian, the things that God has shown me, he's opened my eyes to behold wonderful things in his word. There's been things that I've experienced in Christ. Now, I come from a wonderful family. My mom and dad were married almost 50 years, I guess 45 years. And, they had 8 children, all of whom loved each other. You know, we got our sibling fights like every family. But you know what? There was never a day in my life where I knew I wasn't loved and that my mom and dad would lay down their life. There were many, many times in our conditions when things were very tough, where we would have sausage and gravy and over white Wonder Bread. You know, not Ed's biscuits, but white Wonder Bread. And they would just have, there wouldn't be enough, so they would just have the gravy. There were just so many times that my parents went without, but one thing that we weren't without was love. And I was going back this week, this was a week of reflecting for me, and all of a sudden I had this amazing memory of my father, my twin brother, and my twin is in every memory of mine. You know, some of you have memories maybe just yourself. But every one of my memories, my twin brother is in because he was there. We were inseparable. And this early, early memory, we lived out in the country near a creek in the woods and hills and heavy forests and vines coming out of the trees. You know, it's just really a cool place where I grew up. And I remember my dad holding both my hand and my twin brother's. We must have been around 3 and 4, probably 4 years old. And we were walking through the woods. And my dad was telling me about the leprechauns that were behind every stone. And then he began to tell me, we're coming up on this mound. It was a big mound. And this is where the Indians bury. This is an Indian graveyard right here. You know, it was practically in our backyard, you know. And he obviously was telling these make-believe stories. That memory came back to me because I was asking the Lord, Lord, I don't have many memories of my father really early. Why? I don't know. But all of a sudden, this week, I began to remember all these things, and all of them had my dad holding my hand. Just a beautiful time where even if it was about leprechauns and Indian grave sites, my dad was holding my hand, and I felt in the dream his love for me at 4 years old. It's a beautiful thing, guys, to be loved. It's the most beautiful thing to realize your Heavenly Father has nothing but good things for you. And all the garbage of this world, all the wealth and the things that you can acquire is nothing compared. Nothing compared to the goodness of God and His love in our life. And to pursue that love. You know, I'm determined. I'm going to know that love this year like I've never known it before. And all the other stuff, it's not worth it. And I'm telling you, you know this and I know this, that there's many things that can get between you and God. Yesterday with Azusa, it was amazing. We spent, well, Amy, you were in there an hour before I got in there. Ben, I don't know, you might know the number of hours that was spent repenting and asking forgiveness with all the division and hard things between the different races and the different cultures and the different churches. I mean, what you talk about, amazing. You got a representative from the Catholic Church that came on. A lot of us in here, we don't have a lot of good things to say about the Catholic Church. You know, we see a lot of error. But that Catholic brother said, I come to bring you greetings from 150,000 charismatic Catholic brothers and sisters, that we too share the roots of Azusa with you. And as your brothers, we embrace you today. We are your brothers, and will you forgive us, your Catholic brothers, for sinning against you by slandering you and not understanding your deep love for the same Savior that we have? And so I come today we were going to wash your feet, Lou Engle, who was the head of this movement, but knowing that that would be impractical, would you allow us to kiss your feet? And that Catholic representative got on his feet with tears and began to kiss the feet of Lou Engle. Well, that broke Lou in pieces. So he falls on his feet and he starts kissing their feet. And doctrinally, we're still probably a billion miles apart on some of these things. But we are brothers. If we share Christ, we are brothers. And then the races began to... At first, it was the Native Americans, right, honey? Carol, that they began repent and let go and forgive, because one of the speakers for the Native Americans said, we have an inheritance we've not been able to get to because of our unforgiveness. And we've got to let that unforgiveness go because we are going to get our inheritance. But it was without that decision to know Christ even more and to give up the garbage. It doesn't have to be all the stuff, the credentials of this certificate, this and that and this. But Paul had to make the decision to give up the hurts, to give up the garbage, to give up the things of hell, the reasons, the legitimate reasons, not the make-believe stuff that half of us get ripped off. Half the church gets ripped off over make-believe things. Have you never been ripped off by a make-believe, a lie? And you feel like when the light has dawned, you say, what was I doing? It's embarrassing. But the carnal mind is deceitfully wicked. Who could possibly know it? You and I can't know our own carnal minds. So we have to make the decision. One thing. It's Christ. Total commitment. All the way. Reaching out afresh to this morning that we're not satisfied with our walk. We're reaching out. We're reaching out for more of Him, to know Him even more. And let's continue to read. He says, I count all this other stuff, the loss of all things, as rubbish, trash, garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Found in Him, in union with Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, human effort, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. How many of you are pressing in today to that righteousness? How many of you woke up this morning knowing you were a son of God and you felt like a son of God? That when you looked in the mirror, you weren't looking at a knucklehead. You weren't looking in a mirror and seeing a feeble man. Your mind's not renewed to the failures of your past and to the disappointments of yesterday. But you're looking in that mirror and you're seeing God's new creation, God's masterpiece, the highest of all creation is the Christian. Angels are in bewilderment. Angels stand in awe of us. Angels want to be us. The greatest thing that God made was the new creation, man or woman. Because that's the only creation that can contain the fullness of God. The fullness of God can manifest through you and me. The fullness of God, not 99% of God, the fullness of God can manifest. Ephesians 3:19. Oh, that we might know that love, then that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God. It says, now unto Him then, who can do exceeding abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or think or dream of or dare to imagine. The challenge for you and me today in this message, one thing. Will you go after the one important thing afresh? Will you double your pace? Will you take the slack out of your faith? Will you get rid of the excuses? Will you let go of the past? Will you let go of the good things? Will you not allow comfort? I remember when Art Montgomery and his family had been really incredibly blessed financially. This, dyslexic guy who not only talks that way or reads that way, he talks that way. And he doesn't have, I don't know if Art ever got a college degree, but, you know, he certainly was very successful as a fireman, captain of the L.A. Fire Department. But even in a time of in his life, which he would share his testimony, you could ask him, which was one of the low points of his life, God was speaking to him on blessing. He wanted to bring him out. And even in that time period, and I think Art made mention of it last week or 2 weeks ago, that in that time period of disobedience, God said, Art, obey me, do this. It resulted in $3 million for him. That's a lot of money. But it was not a time when he had dotted every I and crossed every T spiritually. It was a time when he was struggling, crying out every day to God, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me. And applying 1 John 1:9, if anyone will confess his sin, God, you're faithful and just to forgive him his sin and cleanse him from all unrighteousness. But you know what? Where Art was at for a period of 10 years, he was in a 10-year spiral in sin. But never one day did he not stop crying out and reaching out and reaching for the Lord through 1 John 1:9. Because he knew that there was deliverance in Christ. And he had more faith in Christ than he did his own sins. But that's not the way a lot of people are. Do you know there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians, that their sin has derailed them. Where they can't get up. They no longer can get up. They've been cast down. And they're laying there. And we got to go get them. And we got to lift them up. And breathe life back into their lungs, spiritual lungs. Now, I don't want to go judge them. I want to get them up and blow life back in them. Did God not do that for you? And if He did it for you just by yourself, well, praise the Lord. You ought to be able to be twice as effective as me in helping get people up. But how many of you needed help of a brother or a sister or a word from a pastor or some radio show, or somehow God in His great grace grabbed you and gave hope to you again? This is why we have to get up river where we are today and pursue with a love that is unquenchable. We have to pursue Christ, the one thing. Because you and I both think, because we got a little bit of doctrine that we know it all. You know, I've had people say to me, you know, so you're preaching on love again. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, do you even know what love is? I mean, here, I've been married 30 years and I'm a knucklehead with my wife half the time. I still need help to understand how to minister to her and effectively minister. It's not that Amy's complicated. I'm just slow. And I think a lot of us are that way. Don't think you know it all. Because you will never reach out for more of Christ. Hosea 6 says, even though you know the Lord, press on to know Him even more. Do you have a press on in your faith? I've been blessed with a new vehicle and it's got these buttons. My old car never had those buttons, so I still don't understand some of these buttons. But it's got this one button on the stick that it does something to the engine. It revs it even more. You know, what is it called? Turbo ego. Look, all the guys that are, I don't know it, man. Well, do you know Leviticus 26:5? I tell you. Amy, every guy in here knew what that was. I know the Bible and SpongeBob. I gotta press on, man. Oh, it says that we might be found Him not having our own righteousness. See, there is a righteousness that is shining. There is a righteousness today that is perfect. There is a righteousness filled with all authority and power. There is a righteousness today that is a robe of amazing whiteness and purity. There is a righteousness today that you can wear. It's yours. It is the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, do you know that there's not even a star in the universe of 13.4 billion light years? That's how big the known universe is. I don't know what's beyond that, but we can go out 13.4 billion light years. Okay? And a light year happens to be 6 trillion miles. So do the math. 6 trillion times 13.4 billion. Your calculator is not big enough to calculate that. And it's filled with stars. They say there are 300 billion galaxies. In each galaxy, there are 300 billion stars. Do you know that the Bible says that not even one of those stars is clean? That even all the stars have been contaminated by Adam's sin. That's how far sin reached. Bible says not one star is pure. 10 to the 23rd power of stars made impure. But where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And if by one man's sin all were defiled, how much more by one man's righteousness all will be justified? This morning, may you pick up the righteousness of Jesus Christ and wear it. May you have this in your heart to press beyond your own righteousness and your own goodness and your own effort, the law, which is human effort. And may you have faith in the grace and be found in Him today. Not having, it says, my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And if you believe what I just read you, by faith you can be made righteous with the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when you have that righteousness, you've been reconciled to the Father. The Father absolutely is not mad at you. All the salvation that Jesus purchased, when you're walking in that righteousness, you'll walk right into that salvation. You know, you want to walk through the door of salvation into all the blessings. I can understand that. But do you know what I've found? Until you put on righteousness and walk through the door of righteousness, you can't hardly see any salvation. Righteousness, when you have to understand today that you are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And if anything in your life is speaking to you with more force than the Word of God about your righteousness in Christ, then you got to absolutely fight to throw those thoughts under your feet. Put them behind your back. Jesus Christ and His standing is your standing. His possessions are your possessions. His victories are your victories. His joy is your joy today. All that Christ is yours. Everything that He has and is yours. Do you remember this? There's only three things that you are, or that He is, that you're not. Do you know what those three are? Everything that Jesus is, you have and you are. Except three things. One, He's God in the flesh. You're not. Two, He is the sinless one. He is the sinless one and the only one that could be kinsman redeemer. And number three, He's the head of the church and you're not. Outside of those three things, everything that the Bible says Jesus is has been imputed to you by faith, has been given to you. It's called the finished work and it's all yours. That's why the Bible says all things are yours. All things. The inheritance is all things. Everything. Guys, don't wait till heaven to start using that inheritance. Let's grab that inheritance today. Verse 10, that I may know Him. Listen to the heart of Paul. Oh, that I may know Him. When I read this verse, I put, oh, I know that's mine. My word, oh, that I may know Him. Jesus, I want to know You. I want to know You deeper. I want to know You better. And the power of His resurrection. Is there anyone here today, you really want to know the power of His resurrection in your life? And the fellowship of His sufferings. How many of you are prepared to suffer for Christ? You're prepared in your heart to suffer for Jesus. Just think about it. If you're going to press on to know Him, you're going to press through suffering. You're going to press through persecution. You're going to have to press through self-denial. You're going to have to pick up your cross. And you're going to follow Him. If you're going to go one inch deeper in Christ today, then that's going to be suffering. Your flesh your flesh has got the brakes on your life. You ever start your car and take off with the emergency brake on? I've never used the emergency brake once in my life. I get in the van now every once in a while. Candy's been driving the van doing that. She's got that brake on every single time. And I can't figure out. It's a park. I can't figure out why the van's not, you know. And then oh my gosh, here we go, you know, pop. Then it just takes off the way it's supposed to. Your flesh is a parking brake. It's parked. When you guys want to go in Christ, you're going to know. You can press in, but you're going to be feeling a resistance. Well, actually, it smells. It was my first. He'd say, I started smelling something before I realized it was on. All the guys are laughing at me again, Ames. Do you know Numbers 14:18, guys? That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. What kind of death did Jesus have? The Bible says that though He was God, He did not think it robbery to be equal with God, but laid aside His divinity. Never stopped being God, but just didn't operate as God. And took upon Him the form of a servant, a slave, and became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. How many of you today, you want to know Christ, then you're going to have to pick up your cross and you're going to have to follow Him. And it's going to be denying self. That's what your cross is all about. It's denying self to do the will of God. It's just not denying self. It's to do the will of God. You have to deny self. You have to decrease so He can increase and you can go and obey Him. Yesterday at Azusa, one of the most powerful moments of the day. The day was 16 hours long, 15 hours long. But Ben, do you remember, Carol, you and Amy had to leave by this time. But do you remember when the young woman of God, maybe 30-year-old woman, was so passionate as they had prophesied that there were 200,000 Americans leaving America to go be long-term missionaries in the earth. 200,000. And this young girl was so passionate as she was crying out passionately. And you guys, you'd be so encouraged how many young people were in that meeting. I mean, tens of thousands were young. And she was prophesying to him and then urging them, is Christ not worth it? He's excellent. He's the one that we want. He's worth it. And she kept saying, He's worth your life. He's worth giving up comfort. He's worth giving up this to go to Yemen and be a missionary full time in Yemen. And yes, you'll suffer in Yemen. And yes, it will be hard. Maybe even unto death in Yemen. But He is worth it. And she was passionate. Where's she a missionary to? I mean, just as that young girl, of course, Lou Engle, that girl's been prophesying since she was 12 years old on her knees praying. Honey, that spirit that's on that girl, may that spirit be in this church today. Because it's one thing. That's what that spirit that's on that girl and many of the people at Azusa was one thing. It's Christ unto death. It's Christ for His glory. It's Christ. I don't want to know anything else but Christ. He's worth it. It's so much more than getting your ticket punched to heaven. It's having, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Let me challenge you with this thought. Have you sensed Christ living in you? Is Christ living through your eyes? Is He living through your mouth and your words? Is He living through your hands? Is Christ living today? Oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. If by any means, Paul says, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, Paul most definitely knew he was saved by grace through faith. What does he mean, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead? I don't know if I fully understand that verse. Because Paul wrote Ephesians, by the way, 2, which says, by grace are you saved through faith. The Holy Spirit used Paul to write Ephesians, so you're not saved by works. But look at verse 11 again. If by any means. We are only going to go to heaven by the blood of Jesus. Faith in that blood. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. I believe what this means is that he wanted to walk in the resurrected life. From this moment forward. And that there was such a desire that he had. That he was straining every bit of him to walk in the reality of what was purchased for him. Look at verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Everybody say press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. That I may lay hold. Do you have that spirit today? Do you have a lay hold of spirit? Do you have a yearning, an aggression in the things of God to press through the excuses, to press through the reasons, to press through the obstacles, the unknown, the fears, to go be a missionary in the Himalayas or to go witness here in Vista in the neighborhood? Am I afraid to share Christ? You got to press through that fear. You got to press through the fear of opening your mouth. You got to press through the reason that you're busy and you don't have time to talk to this person. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Verse 13, but one thing. Everybody say one thing. I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. How many of you say today, I'm going to reach forward to those things? It's ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's the high call. It's a high calling to be a Christian and to go for the high reward. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. This morning, one thing matters. It's going after Christ. Are you willing to double your pace and to forget the things which are behind and go after Christ again? Something significant happened. Amy, if you want to share anything about yesterday. But everybody say one thing. Let's stand on our feet. Amy, would you come on up? Thank you, Lord. One translation, 20th century New Testament, says this: forgetting the past and straining every nerve to what lies ahead. You know, when I read that, I said, Lord, I'm not there. I don't have it in me that I want to strain every nerve. I mean, I don't want to disappoint you, but I don't know if I've got that kind of desire for you to strain every nerve. And it's kind of like the Lord spoke to me about love. Do you love me? You'll go after me. And if you're not loving me, I can make you love me. Be honest with me. And tell me your heart. And I will soften it. And I will change it. And I will put a desire in you to run. You know, you see this in Song of Solomon 3. When Christ, the lover, comes and jiggles the door handle of her bedroom. And she's laying there in bed. And she says, that's my lover. But she hesitates. And when she gets up, he's already gone. He's already gone. But something was in her to pursue after her lover. Did you, by chance, use that verse last week? Song of Solomon. And it says that she went in search of her lover. And when she did find him, she embraced him and would not let go. And so this is kind of like the action point, honey, on this message. Every one of us in this room are at different places of desire for Christ. We're not all at a 10. And we're not, maybe some of us are anywhere from 1 to 10. But let's all cry out for more of Christ today. And strain just step toward him. One step closer. Amen. Amy, would you close the service with a prayer of desire for the Lord upon the river?
Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, we ask that you would ignite in us even a deeper desire to leave all behind and to press for that which you have for us ahead. Lord, thank you that as we spend time in secret with you this week and in these days, every day coming up, Lord, you will show us, teach us, transform us, deposit in us. Thank you, Lord, that you will meet with us and teach us what this life looks like. And today we surrender all. We love you. By faith we leave all behind that is hindering us. And by faith, we take a step forward in you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're our helper and our teacher to glorify you in our lives for this hour until we see you, Lord. And we thank you that you will complete that which you have begun in us for your glory. And Lord, as we desire to please you, that you would minister through our lives to draw many to you. Give us an eternal perspective that we would not see things just in the immediate, but we could see with eternity in mind and your kingdom in mind. Lord, thank you for transforming us today, changing us, and teaching us how to walk with you and in you. Oh, author and finisher, we love you and worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap today. Thank you, Lord. Would you give someone a hug, too? And we have fellowship right in the foyer today. We'll be inside. It must be raining outside. Amen.